Our New Testament reading today is from chapter 8 of the book of John, beginning in verse 31. This is a continuation of our I Am series that we have been doing. And so as you are may be aware that most frequently when we hear people talk about the I Ams of Jesus Christ, they limit them to 7 because all the rest of them say, I am, like the light, I am the door. But in this case, Jesus says before Abraham, I am. And so I feel this very, very important I Am of Christ. And we'll conclude the series today, and then we'll celebrate Thanksgiving next week, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, with some Thanksgiving hymns with that. Hear now the word of our Lord, beginning in verse 31. Jesus, at this point, has been threatened by many of the leaders of the church. He knows they want to arrest them. Things are going downhill very quickly as Jesus speaks in the synagogue. And I want to tell you that Jesus' teachings, the more that they threaten him, the more that they oppressed him, the more bold and impossible to get around his teaching he was giving. Jesus was not going to let them get away from the fact that he is from God, that he is with God, and God is with him. And so Jesus, even though some people were left him and were yelling curses at him, it says at the last line before this scripture begins, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. So it begins in 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now he's talking to the ones who say they believe. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. They've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. That's a son with a small s. So if the Son, with a capital, Son, sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do whatever you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they said. If you were Abraham's children, don't you recall Satan saying to Jesus during the temptation, if you are the Son of God? He's saying, if you were Abraham's children, that is, he's causing great doubt of it, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. And so they're really mad now, and they're going to cast a slur against him, insinuating that he was an illegitimate child, because it's a small town and everybody knew that Mary was pregnant before the wedding. We're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God Himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I come from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? My goodness, I'd never say that. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I'm not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. And this is the word of our Lord. Before Abraham, I am. So who is this Jesus that they were talking to, that they were doubting, that they were accusing? If we turn to the beginning, the first verse of this book of John, it starts with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And throughout this book of John, John goes to great lengths to describe the holiness of Jesus Christ, that he was there with God from the beginning, and he refers to Jesus as the Word. Through this series of I am statements, we started off with I am the bread of life, as Jesus sustains us, gives us the basic things that we need to live forever. I am the light of the world. And we can, at the scripture we've just read, this is, gives you kind of a picture of the accused sitting in the police station with the bright lights shining on them and everything, and just throwing things at them. No, it wasn't Jesus sitting there in the light. It was the light of Jesus shining on the unrepentant. They are the ones being questioned. They thought that they were accusing Jesus, but he was shining the light of God upon them, which convicts us all. We continued after "I am the light of the world" to talk about that "I am the gate." Don't be afraid to speak up if I get one, leave one out. Get them out of order. "I am the door." Jesus is the door. As we talked about, some people complain, and particularly in our culture today, if we go and say to people that there is, that Jesus is the only door, Jesus is the only way to God. There is no other way of God. We live in a world that says there's many ways to God. You can come whichever way that you want. They complain that there's only one door. And we thank God that there's a door. Because we don't deserve a door. But God has given us the door. And we went on to read the story of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And we learned about Lazarus dying. And she said to Jesus and everything, that "I know that Lazarus will be raised on the last day of the resurrection." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Jesus explained to her and the other, all the people from Jerusalem who gathered to mourn over the death of Lazarus, and explained to the sisters who were crying at their brother Lazarus' loss, even as Jesus wept with them, he explained to them that "I am the resurrection, that I am the one who will raise up on the last day." And Jesus will raise us up on the last day, but Jesus was living in his human body, fully God at that time, and so he spoke to them and said that, let's make sure they're all right. Okay. Jesus spoke to them and said that he was, that was maybe Jesus coming in to join us, huh? and he will, just as he raised Lazarus up when Jesus was here physically, Jesus will raise us up when we die spiritually. And for those of us who are alive, when Jesus returns, he will raise us up physically as well. Jesus went on to say that "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me," just in case we didn't get it the first time. But he didn't only say that "I am the way and no one comes to the Father," but he said, "I am the truth and I am the life." And we live in a world today where people aren't happy with one truth. People today feel that "I should have my truth and you should have your truth and you should have your truth." And we don't have to be narrow-minded and believe there's only one truth. But we have the Word of God. We have the Bible that is the truth. And Jesus says, "I am the way." And as Jesus Let us through this. The last one is what? The last "I am" of Jesus. I'm actually asking you because I've lost. Today we are studying, Jesus said, "Before Abraham, I am." Abraham is a good one to look at, particularly as we approach Thanksgiving. In Abraham, we have a picture of a man who was wealthy. He was from a wealthy family. He was a wealthy person. He had many possessions. He had everything that he needed. And God called to Abraham and spoke to Abraham and said, "Leave all these things. Go to a land that you do not know. Take your family and your possession with you. But leave the place where you're the big guy and go to a foreign land." And Abraham obeyed and went where God told him to. And this morning, as Chloe was singing to us, I was thinking about other people who have trusted God and have been thankful to God for what they had and thankful for God in every occasion. Fanny J. Crosby, who many of our hymns and our hymnals were written by, and many of us grew up listening to her wonderful music, wasn't born blind. She was 1.5, between 1.5 and 2 years old, and she got an eye infection and her parents took her to a quack doctor. They didn't know he was a quack doctor, but he, not only did he ruin her eyesight, not heal the one eye, he caused her to lose eyesight in the other eye as well by using the wrong medicine and using it for too long. But she grew up every day her grandmother would read scripture to her, read the Bible to her, and her grandmother told her, "Fanny J., you are so blessed. God has given you blindness for a purpose. God has great plans for you. God will use you. You need to give thanks for this blindness because God has chosen you in a very special way." And she devoted her life to praising God, to singing God's praises. And Abraham left everything that he knew and gave God the praise and the glory. And Jesus knew that Abraham was a prophet. And these people who referred to themselves as the children of Abraham, and in fact the Jewish people were descendants of Abraham, these people referred to themselves as children of Abraham, but Jesus said to them, "You say you're children of Abraham, but you don't do the things that Abraham did. You won't live in faith." And he says, "I know this because before Abraham was, I am." Was it Walter Mondale who told him, he said, "I knew John Kennedy, and you're no John Kennedy." That's what Jesus was saying to, or he said Jack Kennedy, I believe. And that's what Jesus is saying to them. "I knew Abraham, and you're no Abraham. You're not living the way Abraham lives. You're not thankful to God. You're not trusting God. You're not believing in what God has taught you." All this, of course, Jesus being persecuted and ridiculed and threatened and even having attempted murder, Jesus gave thanks for this when he prayed to God because it was part of God's plan. And he trusted God even in his human flesh, even though he was fully God, Jesus fully human, trusted God. Because he knew that these people were not living as Abraham lived, and they would not live as Jesus lived either. So the question comes for us is, who is Jesus to you? Who is this Jesus Christ, the I Am? Who is this one to you? What is your personal relationship with Him? Jesus asked them, I know that you're not the children of Abraham because you're not doing the things that Abraham did. And today He asks us, are you children of God? Because are you doing the things that Jesus did? Are you forgiving as Jesus forgives? Are you trusting as Jesus trusts? Are you living your life as a testament to God as Jesus did? No, I cannot and will not ever be able to live as Jesus did. No, I cannot and will not ever be able to live with the trust and security that Jesus has. But I can live with the joy, and I can live with the freedom that Jesus says, because Jesus says that He will set us free. As long as we live our lives for ourselves, as long as we live our lives for the things of this world, then what we will inherit are the things of this world and whatever we ourselves are able to accumulate until we die. But what Jesus is saying, that I offer you freedom, and it's through my word that I set you free, because I offer you, if you will believe in me, if you will devote your life to me, if you will give up those things that this world says is good and devote yourself to the things that the word says is good, then I give you freedom. And I will use everything in your lives for good. I heard a preacher on the way to church this morning talk about Corrie Ten Boom. And many of you all have read the story of how she and her family sheltered. They were a Christian family in Holland, and they sheltered Jews until they themselves were captured and sent to the concentration camp. And the story goes that she said that she and her sister were put back in this farthest back part of the dorm, and the floors were all covered with straw, and that's what they lived on, and it stank, and they slept on it, and that was where they lived. But the first night she realized that her legs were totally covered with fleas. And she told her sister, I can't take this. And she's screaming, I can't take this. Her sister says, what did we study in the Bible? That God uses all things for good. And she said, and they could have killed us when they captured us, but they allowed us to live and sent us here. Give thanks to God for that. And so Corrie prayed and gave thanks to God for that. And she said, now Corrie, you know, when they captured us, many families, we've learned since we got here, most of them get separated from the people they love. You and I are still together. Give thanks to God for that. And so Corrie gave thanks to God for that. And she said, Corrie, now give thanks to God for the fleas. Corrie said, I can't give thanks to God for the fleas. Are you crazy? These fleas are eating me alive. I'm dying. I can't stand it. She said, give thanks to God for the fleas, Corrie. We don't understand it yet, but give thanks to God for the fleas. And so Corrie said, okay, I'm doing it, but I'm not feeling it. And she gave thanks to God for the fleas. Well, one of the things I left out was that she had told Corrie to give thanks that they were able to smuggle a Bible in with them. Well, they took that Bible and started Bible studies among the Jewish women who were captured with them. And for long, people were coming back for Bible studies there, and the guards never bothered them. The guards never stopped them. They didn't stop the people from coming and going. They didn't come in and look to see what was going on. And a month later, Corrie's sister was making socks, and there was a problem. They were packaging socks and working on these socks that they'd been ordered to do. and they didn't have something they needed, and they called the guard and said, "You need to bring us this. We don't have this. We won't get our order done, and we'll get in trouble." And the guard said, "I'm not coming back, or you bring it. We're not going back where those fleas are." God had used the fleas to keep the guards away so that they could bring people to know Christ. I hope that you will give thanks this Thanksgiving for the fleas in your life as well as for the joys in your life. The fleas will make you curious as to what God's up to and how God's going to use it and give you hope. Amen.